This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Trained to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Trained to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour 3, G-Bag Nation here on The Fan, home of the Cowboys, home of your Texas Rangers, off today, back at it tomorrow, hosting Tampa. Okay, top 10's coming up here in about 20 minutes, but it is time now for a Thursday news dump with the Chief. Here's Eric.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. We can go ahead and get ahead of the top 10 list now with the Woolly Bully out. Do the people want, in honor of Val Kilmer, the top 10 Val Kilmer movies? Or do we want, in honor of the fact that I haven't seen Tombstone yet, do we want the top 10 best Westerns of all time? Now, I will be watching Tombstone this weekend. Rest assured.
There you go.
That's the homework assignment. I'll come back on Monday, hopefully with a full report. Looking forward to it. And but yeah, if the Tolos were, you choose your own destiny, Val Kilmer movies or the top 10 Westerns in honor of Val Kilmer and Tombstone.
I would probably vote Westerns because I just don't think Val Kilmer had the catalog. You know, yeah. He had a couple of great characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of, as I was sniffing around the list, I was like, not really familiar with this one, not familiar with that one. But we'll let the people decide, whatever you want to do. Now, Anthony Davis was getting it done at the AAC last night. Here's Mark Folliwell with the game winner.
Hardy are the targets for Dinwiddie. And it goes into Davis. And it's Anthony Davis driving. Yeah. It's in there! 3.4 to go!
Super tough shot. And it was a great game from Anthony Davis, especially after getting the stitches in the face.
Did you think that
face.
Was it?
I thought that was going to be it.
You
absolutely.
Thought that was the final curtain call for Anthony Davis?
Thought that was going to be all she wrote for the Anthony Davis 2025 Dallas Mavericks season, but he comes storming back. 34 points with missing a big chunk of time going to get stitches in the locker room. Very impressive performance on both ends.
Atlanta will give you some points now.
Atlanta will give you some points.
They will.
That is tried and true about the Atlanta Hawks. My question is, where do you guys think that Anthony Davis play landed in SportsCenter's top 10 plays from last night?
I mean, we're in baseball season
Ohtani
now.
Ohtani was number one.
I'll take eight.
Yeah, I'm going to say number six.
Number six. Wow, that was a tough shot. He's going left. He hits it right.
You're going to tell me
it was early.
It
went to right.
You're going to say it wasn't in the top 10 is what you're going to say.
Oh, it was in the top 10. Oh. Now, I would agree with you, Broadus.
I thought Ohtani, I didn't see the top 10, but I would have thought that Ohtani's home run that win the game against the Braves would have been number one.
He went early. Harp even called him out for it, which I think counts against him in this if we're scoring at home.
Okay, there you go. And that's fine if we, like, because you got to be a little bit, you're splitting hairs with the Ohtani stuff. That should have been number one. I don't even know. I only saw the final two plays. I'm guessing Ohtani was number three because he wasn't number two and he wasn't number one.
Wow.
So that is glaring oversight. If I'm one of the producers at SportsCenter, I'm going, what are we doing here? What Ohtani did last night was unbelievable.
Might have happened late after the edit.
I will tell you this, though.
We'll hit that in Around the Bases a little bit later.
Have you guys ever tried to look up a score on ESPN's app for Major League Baseball?
You got to jump through some hoops.
I have better luck doing other sports than I have Major League Baseball. You have to kind
of. It's surprising how difficult it can be to find some good stats or a box score.
Yeah, I was just trying to find a score. Yeah. And you have to basically go into the tab and then find MLB and then hit that and then hit scores. And sometimes those things just pop right up. Like basketball, boom, that thing pops right up. But baseball, a little bit of a search.
Anthony Davis, his play was number two in the SportsCenter top 10.
Can you tell me who number one was?
Number one was actually Elly De La Cruz.
Oh, the backhand against the Rangers.
The incredible grab.
In the foul territory.
Yes, in foul territory. It was awesome. Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
But was that better than Ohtani? Is that better than a game winner?
I'll
going
tell you
left,
what.
Hitting it with the right?
The wind held that foul ball. If you look at the
There was some serious hang time on that one.
That was.
But it was an awesome play.
God, it was an awesome play.
But it was number one.
Yeah.
It was number one on SportsCenter's top 10. Anthony Davis number two.
They probably feel like that Ohtani is going to have probably a few more of those.
You know? You can't beat a walk-off dinger, though, with a runner in the lane with 4 seconds left in the game. You know, maybe if that goes off at the horn, you know, and now you have a little bit of a competition. But Trae Young had a chance to win that.
He did.
It takes something from the drama.
On him.
And Ellie De La Cruz, you're in the middle of a game. You made a nice defensive play. But, you know, I don't think that's as good as what Ohtani did last night either.
Yeah, making that number one is crazy. Did you guys see the Rangers tweeting out the new season-long promotional item?
No.
Food?
They've gotten in bed with Chick-fil-A.
It's a good idea.
Free Chick-fil-A when a Rangers player hits a home run off the foul pole this season.
Oh, geez.
So it's quite a stretch. I don't know how many of these.
What do we get?
And that's the other thing.
That better be like a legit $10
all they did
value.
Was, yeah. All the Texas Rangers did a couple of hours ago was say, it's the foul pole now, and they spell it F-O-W-L.
Okay.
And that's all. I don't know exactly what I'm assuming you get a free run-of-the-mill standard Chick-fil-A sandwich. That would be my guess on what you get here. But how many opportunities are you going to get at that?
Well, considering how much advertising they're going to get, including us mentioning it right now, I would hope that you'd get at least a meal. You know, let me get some of those waffle fries and a nice soda along with my spicy chicken sandwich.
Give me that lemonade. Give me that lemonade
I'm
for the win.
I'm kind of thinking they're not. It's pretty rare, isn't it, to hit a.
To hit a home run off the foul pole, I wonder how often
a year that actually happens.
Nothing against, and I think they have a deal. I was hearing the broadcast that there's somebody that if a Ranger hits a home run off the sign, you can get like $100,000. That thing, I don't.
Good luck.
I don't think that thing's ever. I think that's ever happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the foul pole homer, I don't think so.
Well, Chick-fil-A at some point. After a Rangers game, let's go just clean up.
God, love it tomorrow night and see that.
Can you imagine how long that line's going to be? I mean, it's usually out to the main road.
Yeah, they're going to have to double up on the drive-through lines. I mean, Chick-fil-A is a well-oiled machine.
Efficient.
They can get it done.
Very efficient.
They can get it done, and they're probably not going to have to worry about it because that seems pretty low in terms of odds of how many times you're going to get a Rangers player.
It has to be
at home,
okay,
off the foul pole, and still. A dong. That's a lot of qualifiers.
I'm going to go on record right now and say that will not happen this year.
I think that's fair. I absolutely think that's fair. We need to do some foul pole home run analytics and see what the likelihood is of this thing cashing.
Okay, so I did ask ChatGPT there as we were kicking it around. They say there's no data that's been collected. Such occurrences are rare and are typically noted anecdotally rather than systematically.
You go. Yeah. Well, I guess the Chick-fil-A, it's interesting though, because you have the golden chick stuff, right? So now you have a couple of
chickens in there.
Yeah, competing chickens. Yeah. Pluckers is still, you know, making an appearance. I'm looking forward to draft night, by the way. April 24th.
It's just how popular sports is as a marketing vehicle. You know, everybody wants to be around the play-by-play, the sports talk. You know, it's real, it's blue chip type real estate.
Are you in the Grapevine area? Is that what I heard?
I think I'm going to be planting the flag on draft night at the Grapevine Pluckers, absolutely.
Do people come up? I mean, we get good crowds for this, right?
Great crowds, yeah. I mean, Pluckers is a great spot to be watching the NFL draft.
Gotcha.
And then you have all the specials. So 9 DFW Pluckers locations. Fan hosts will be at all of them for round
draft
one.
Draft 101 coming up, too.
Draft 101? Is that going to the Star again?
No, it's going to be here.
Okay.
Details soon to follow, but it's going to be here.
That's quite a tease.
A couple weeks, I think 2 weeks from today.
How would you guys feel about this if you were a resident of Idaho, as their governor has signed a law that effectively makes the classic truck accessory, truck nuts, illegal?
Oh, it's vulgar. That seems overly, stuffy, old-fashioned. I can go ahead and let them hang.
Do we have a female governor?
They look kind of funny, you know? And they could be like a cow or a sheep's nuts. You know, they don't necessarily have to be human. So that could be an agriculture thing. Yeah, there's okay. a lot of ways you could take this.
Yeah, I guess the indecent exposure laws are now getting to a place where anything resembling a human being anatomy is not going to be something that's going to fly. So no more truck nuts in Idaho. I don't know. I mean, I wonder what state leads the league in truck nuts. Wouldn't you have to think Texas? Don't you? I mean, but I don't see him that often. Broadus is shaking his head.
A lot of trucks. A lot of trucks in Texas.
A lot of trucks in Texas.
I'm going to guess my former home state of Louisiana is involved in this one.
See a lot of those out there?
I'm going to say this great state of Alabama is probably involved. I'm going to say the great state of Mississippi is probably involved.
We have such a bigger population, though. Yeah. I bet if you're going
I think Texas is involved.
By per capita, maybe Texas wouldn't win.
With trucks, though.
But if you're just going counting, I think we might have the most truck nuts here.
I'm sure there's plenty of guys that are ticked about this, especially in Idaho. Got to imagine a lot of rancher types or whatever that are used to driving the truck around thinking it's no big deal. But I really don't see them that often.
I don't either, and it's not that big of a deal, but it's just weird that your city or state government is spending so much time on this. And whoever came up with it is clearly no fun at all. That's a guy you do not want to invite to your Christmas party.
I think they were invented sort of in the 80s, but then they became super popular, and they were selling on multiple sites in the 90s is when that was sort of the heyday. Mid to late 90s is when they were getting going. But yeah, and we call them truck nuts, but
yeah,
I've definitely seen them on sedans in the past.
Truck nuts.
There's a versatility to these particular nuts. I think you're pigeonholing them as just truck nuts when you say truck nuts.
Yes.
Just car nuts.
Vehicle nuts.
They gained popularity in the United States during the late 1990s.
There you go.
Early 2000s. Trucks and SUVs. But there's little data about distribution of sales state by state is not readily available.
I am kind of surprised we haven't seen the level up to where you go from... Like, I'm surprised we haven't seen more body parts hanging from the back of vehicles.
Uh-oh.
You know, like, you're not... They haven't evolved, you know? It's still
they
just
need to
the
branch out.
Yeah. Maybe if they were more progressive and...
We might have a winner here.
What else would you like to put back there, Chief?
We might have a state winner.
Who's that?
Florida.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can see that in Florida.
Florida legislator Pat proposed a bill to prohibit vehicles' accessories resembling human genitalia, though it did not pass into law. In 2011, a South Carolina woman was ticketed for displaying truck nuts, leading to a legal debate about obscenity and freedom of expression.
Yeah, I think that's what's most offensive to me is, like, this is freedom of speech stuff here. You know, are you pro freedom of speech or not? I definitely don't think a piece of the human anatomy can possibly be vulgar. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. God invented it. You want to slap God in the face like that?
Gosh, Dawson.
Yeah, okay. You're banning God's work. Okay. I'll be on the other side of that.
I don't know. How do you? There's some times I've been in that old man gym where I wish they banned some of the stuff.
Car clams are being suggested from the 432 and truck tees as well. But how would you handle that from a father perspective? Driving down the highway, 7-year old asking you, your 7-year old daughter's asking you, Daddy, what are those? What's the approach?
I would just say truck nuts.
Those are truck nuts, those honey. Truck sit down nuts. And
yeah, don't worry about
shut
it.
Shut up.
Yeah, they're called truck nuts.
Boy, was how that about a plate? You just don't worry about it.
Was
sugar.
That a license plate from Alaska? What did we see there?
Yeah, go ask your mom.
You just gaslight her like you didn't see anything. There was nothing there.
Yeah. No, nothing. Yeah, part of the trailer hit.
What are you talking about, honey? I don't see what you're seeing. What are you seeing?
Thank you, Chief. No more truck nuts in Idaho.
A Thursday news dump is in the books. Okay, C-Note's coming up at 4:40, Cowboys News of the Evening, and what Tyler Guyton wants the Cowboys to do at 12. But a top 10 is up next. Chief, what are you doing for your guy?
I'm trying to get, I'm trying to just deflect these texts that are coming in saying both of these list suggestions suck. But Val Kilmer movies on the heels of his unfortunate death, or top 10 Westerns in honor of Val Kilmer and Tombstone. Choose Your Own Destiny, next in the nation.
All right, welcome back. James Tritely in for Lucius Alexander today, doing a heck of a job as we hit the midway point of the show. Proper Round Tripper coming up at 6 o'clock. We'll hear from Dan Plesac, MLB Network, on what has allowed Jack Leiter to be so much better this year through two starts. It's exciting. They're going to host the Rays over the weekend. First one tomorrow night, 6:30 pregame here on The Fan. It's time for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 4:20. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Now, here he is, Eric Chiafalo, with Zach's Top 10, 4:20.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. On the heels of Val Kilmer's death and the fact that I have yet to see the movie Tombstone, which is a huge blind spot for me, it's my homework assignment this weekend. Let's do the top 10 best Western movies ever made. Wow. I believe this is a movie list that could actually get Brian off the bench. And I feel like he could get some buckets in this particular game.
This could really be his wheelhouse. I'm sensing that.
Right? Well, I mean, broadest.
Especially if you go back.
If you go back to the John Wayne era.
Are we going to go Lonesome Dove?
John Wayne?
No. You go Good, Bad, and the Ugly, High Plains Drifter. What else are we going to go with? Those were all Clint Eastwood movies.
Yeah, Clint Eastwood is
Cowboys.
Is that dude. He's dominating this list.
Yeah, okay. The Searchers was one that was really good. High Noon, that's Gary Cooper.
It's number 16 on this list.
What, High Noon?
High Noon.
Yeah.
Black and white movie.
Let me get, for maybe one a little bit off the radar, 310 to Yuma.
Oh, 310 to Yuma was good. I'm trying to see. I don't know.
Does Costner have some of these movies, Kevin Costner?
Yeah, Costner's
in the
mix.
He's going to have one.
I mean, it's.
I didn't see him, but I knew that he did a
Open Range.
Yeah. He did, some movies. I'm saying yeah, like I know what the hell I'm talking. You know how I am, right? Like you say something, I go yeah, but it happens all the time. People look at me, and go, you didn't even hear what I said, and I'm like, yeah, you're right.
Kevin Costner with the Dances with Wolves.
Dances with Wolves. There we go.
That's not a real Western, though.
It qualifies for the list. It comes in at number 20. So it's not going to be in the top 10. Outside looking in, Kevin Costner. Isn't that kind of a lovey-dovey movie?
It's like a Native American genre movie.
Was there one called The Unforgiven? That was Clint Eastwood. I think Gene Hackman was in it. Speaking of guy, I mean, we just saw
Gene
Hackman.
Oh, yeah, Unforgiven's on the list.
Is it Unforgiven on there?
It's a good one.
Unforgiven, let me see. Yes, it ranks.
True
it ranks
Grit?
Respectfully. Yeah, True Grit.
Okay.
True Grit's going to be in the mix here. John Wayne.
John Wayne, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, who's most synonymous? When you think of Western movies, is it Clint Eastwood? Because Clint Eastwood, for me, is the one that's most synonymous. But obviously, John Wayne is probably
John
the
Wayne
original,
was
right?
one of the original.
He's the pioneer.
Yeah, well, yeah, but you go back to, like, Will Rogers. And so, I mean, I guess there were dudes way before that. But the guy, like, yeah, John Wayne was one of the original ones. And then Clint Eastwood, like in the 60s, Clint Eastwood, I think, like I say, Good, Bad, and the Ugly, I think was like 1966. Something like that. I mean, I was little when it happened, but that's how far back I can go for some of these movies.
I believe it, dude.
My
dad
took me in the 70s to all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, my dad
the Cowboys.
Was a big Western, big Western guy. Yeah. But before we kick off the list, let's hear from Tom Cruise on the late, great Val Kilmer when he sat down promoting the newest Top Gun, Top Gun Maverick, where Val Kilmer, as Iceman, makes an appearance. This was Tom Cruise talking about Val Kilmer with Jimmy Kimmel.
I just want to say that was pretty emotional. I've known Val for decades, and for him to come back and play that character, he's such a powerful actor that he instantly became that character again. I mean, that is... You're looking at Iceman.
Did you cry when you guys shot that, or was it just me?
I was crying. I got emotional. He's such a brilliant actor. I love his work. And
that really was quite a moment in the movie. It's not all stunts, you know. There's some heart going on there.
Now, I never saw Top Gun Maverick, but I believe you did. Didn't you, Broadus?
I did.
You said it was fantastic.
It was. It was very much like...
Did you cry when Iceman and...
Well, it's because he's kind of like he's commander of the fleet. And so he's this
fleet commander.
Yeah. So he comes in and then, like, you know, and here's Tom Cruise meeting with him, and he's just trying to tell him, like, dude, you just gotta let go. You gotta
give it up.
You gotta go. And Tom Cruise is like, you know, it's a pretty emotional scene because the no voice, like he's having to type everything out because he really can't speak because of his real throat cancer stuff that he's dealing with.
Yeah. It was sad.
Yeah.
I got a couple for you here that I think it just gets no better than Young Guns and Young Guns 2.
That was pretty good.
And then
Regulators Mount Up.
Yes. And Tombstone was unbelievable. But, you know, Old Henry is a recent one. It was 4 years ago. And that's one that I would definitely go find if I was a Western fan tonight. Mm-hmm. Old Henry.
Yeah. Okay. A lot of Young Guns being texted in. Here at 877-881-1053, top 10 Westerns ever made in honor of Tombstone and Val Kilmer.
Is that like Kiefer Sutherland and all those guys? I mean, all those young...
Jack Bauer?
Well, yeah, but there were all those young actors. I mean, it was kind of like, I'm thinking...
Estevez.
The Brat Pack of the day, but different. Like, they're all these sons of old actors that were all involved. Yeah.
Charlie Sheen.
There you go. They're like... Bunch of old
Emilio Estevez.
Yeah.
We got Magnificent Seven being texted in quite a bit as well. Hateful Eight. We got the
Magnificent Seven. Lee Marvin, I think.
Lonesome Dove's another one getting shouted out quite a bit. Your 3:10 to Yuma there. Dawson.
Lonesome Dove was
Quigley Down Under. Shout out to Tom Selleck, dude.
Was Lonesome Dove a TV series or was that an actual movie?
It's a movie. I mean, perhaps both.
I thought it was a television series.
It was definitely a movie, but it might have also been a series. Huh. Some text for Jeremiah Johnson, Robert Redford.
Robert Redford,
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one that I am familiar with. We have High Plains Drifter, Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood, there you go.
Outside Looking In, Open Range, Costner, Outside Looking In, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
That's
also Robert Redford.
Robert Redford.
Paul Newman.
Paul Newman, yeah. And they were actually really, really good in a movie, seriously. There's a movie called The Sting that you need to watch. It's about the hustle a gangster in New York City. They have they set up a fake betting like a horse racing thing. It's actually really good. Sting is excellent if you want to watch something one night.
So Lonesome Dove was a television miniseries.
I thought it was a book. It was a book that was made a miniseries, right?
Yes, but it's often referred to as a movie because of how it's presented. And the cinematography was so good.
Excellent, yeah.
People watching it think it's a movie. Yeah.
Bone Tomahawk being texted in a lot saying, if you have a weak stomach, stay away. Guess that one gets pretty violent.
Yeah.
But that one's being texted
like,
in
is
here.
Is that like taking on Indians and stuff like that? Because there was a lot of those movies my dad took me to that probably shouldn't. There was a movie, I think, called Little Big Man with Dustin Hoffman. And he was kind of a Indian cowboy guy, kind of going back and forth. And, there was a lot of gore going on for those battles.
I'm here for the blood.
A lot of people getting arrowed up.
Last on the outside looking in, A Fistful of Dollars.
Yeah.
Another Clint Eastwood special.
Lee Van Cleef.
Number 10, Pale Rider. Mysterious preacher rides into a small mining community besieged by a ruthless land baron. All of a sudden, Clint Eastwood saves the day.
Yeah.
We have The Magnificent Seven coming in at number 9.
It's 1985.
Sounds promising.
This is the 1960 version.
No. A Pale Rider, 1985.
Oh, Pale Rider.
This is one of Clint Eastwood's great westerns. It's often considered a spiritual successor to his earlier High Plains Drifter film.
There you go. Rio Bravo, number 8. That one's been texted in quite a bit as well. That's Dean Martin, John Wayne, of course, Ricky Nelson. That's a 1959 exclusive. True Grit with John Wayne at number 7.
There you go.
It's hard for a movie like pre-1980 to hit for me. You know, just because how they're made, it's hard to like suspend disbelief or whatever. Just looking at the old filmmaking, but with some of these, it works.
You would like High Plains Drifter and Hang 'Em High, and you would like those. They were
I want to try them.
They're actually well done. The color was super bright, but the music was really good for it too. I mean, the soundtracks were good.
This one sounds pretty good at number 6. John Wayne's The Searchers. A Civil War veteran embarks on an obsessive quest to rescue his niece who has been abducted by Comanche warriors.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Nothing better than an army, especially a special forces guy that's come home to set things right.
This is the cowboy
Could
western.
Not agree more.
This is a cowboy western version of The Taken.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, I got you.
I mean, it's a tried and true storyline.
It works.
It works, man.
It works.
Number five, the man who shot Liberty Valance.
Ooh.
James Stewart,
yep.
John Wayne, yep. Vera Miles. You have at number four, the outlaws, or the outlaw Josie Wales.
There you go. That's
Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood, yep.
And Chief Dan George. Then you have Unforgiven. There you go. Number three.
1992. Gene Hackman in that one, right?
Eastwood, Hackman, and Morgan Freeman, dude.
Yeah.
Great Metallica song, too.
Which one? Unforgiven?
The Unforgiven.
Number two, The Good, the bad,
the Ugly.
No Young Guns or Tombstone in here. There's 10 better than those.
At number one, in this thrilling and iconic tale, a retired lawman decides to leave his badge behind and move out west with his brothers. Looking for a fresh start, they soon realize that trouble follows them as they get immersed into a blood feud between two powerful factions. With its star-studded cast, unforgettable one-liners, and intense action scenes, this flick remains an all-time favorite among Western fans. At number one, we have Kurt Russell, Val Kilmer, and Michael Biehn.
Look at
Tombstone.
That.
Tombstone.
Skin that smoke wagon.
Sam Elliott.
Number one, boys
Sam
and girls.
Sam Elliott, nice. Bill Paxton. Don't forget those guys as well.
I was kind of wondering, is this thing being oversold? I haven't seen it yet.
Kurt Russell, Val Kilmer, Sam Elliott, Bill Paxton.
Number one Western of all time, Tombstone gets that love.
Look at that. I think you're going to love it.
You will.
The only downside is the love story can kind of get sappy and like drag on. And you're like,
as a rom-com guy, though,
you might like it.
I might welcome that,
especially because wifey, she's hitting the bottle hard.
She's out of control.
And it's not booze. She's on opium.
Yeah.
She's out of there.
Oh, yeah, my God.
And he's kind of doing some other things.
Val is?
No, Kurt Russell.
Kurt.
Yeah. Kurt White Earp's had enough.
I love Kurt Russell, too, man. You tell me Kurt Russell's at Tango and Cash?
He's very good in this.
You're gonna like it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to overhype it at this point because
it's number one.
Overhype
I mean, it seems to be tried and true. Proof is in the pudding. This is a beloved movie, and the indictment is on me. I gotta watch it.
Alrighty, I love it. Can't wait for your report. Football's Finest coming up at 5 o'clock. We'll get more into that. But the C note is next. Tyler Guyton. What does he want the Cowboys to do at 12? He's keeping it in state, and that's coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation. Well, thank you very much, James Tritely, in for Lucius Alexander today. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Let's get you some C note here. Cowboys news of the evening. We do it most days here on your home of the Cowboys. We take a look at the top Cowboys stories that are making headlines and going viral across social media. We go to the Know-It-Alls podcast. Tyler Guyton, local guy, joined the program, and he was talking about what he'd like to see the Cowboys do in the draft. Take it away, Tyler.
We have someone here in the chat asking, is there anybody that you like, yo, I want to play with that guy? You know,
That's a good question. I think, you know, obviously we just lost Jordan Lewis, so that's a big loss. I have a buddy over at the Longhorns named Jahdae Barron who really, really wants to be a Cowboy. And a great addition to the squad.
Okay, there we go, Tyler.
I would say Tyler Smith knows how to scout.
Yeah.
What about Tyler Guyton?
Oh, what did I say? Is Guyton?
Oh, my bad. That's Tyler Smith.
It was Tyler Guyton.
Oh, that's my bad.
Okay.
I doubled my bad.
One of the Tylers.
Yeah.
But it was Guyton.
Guyton.
I'd say you nailed the Tyler.
I'd say he knows.
He knows how to scout him out.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear that Jahdae Barron wants to be a Cowboy.
Yeah.
And now, to be honest, though, I'm seeing a lot of mocks where he's going ahead. Like, he's getting picked
Daniel
in the top Jer- 10
Daniel
or even
Jeremiah.
At 11 to the Niners.
Daniel Jeremiah, it was one of the first ones that started putting Barron ahead of, like, Will Johnson and guys like that. So, yeah. But
the only thing about him is he doesn't have long arms. Every other box, it feels like he checks. And the dude is tough as nails. You watch him meet Scataboo in the hole. Yeah. Decleat him. That's your corner. And it's man, it's zone. He's fast, 4.440. I don't know what's not to like. You have some position flex a little bit as well. This is a no-brainer kind of selection for whatever team ends up getting him.
Especially because Jordan Lewis left and you haven't really brought in anything good. Yeah. You know,
everything you said is absolutely true. I don't have an answer for you. I mean, I don't have a, you know, yeah, we got to, you know, I don't know.
Like how often do short arm guys fail? That everything looks good in college. They have short arms. You take them. You're like, well, of course it didn't work. He's got short arms. Can't do it in the NFL.
I tell you what, I don't have a number or a stat that says it's short arm guys.
I'm going to find something. I know Nick Saban recently was on a podcast and he was talking about the
length of corners,
the parameters around the cornerback position.
See, that's what I'm saying. You know, he came from a Belichick system, which came from a Parcells system. But, you know, in all my years of scouting, I never saw a study that said, well, short arm players fail more than, I mean, trust me, his ability to drive on the ball and to position himself and not have to go through a guy to get to the, I mean, the quickness, the agility, all those things that he plays with, it makes up for some deficiencies that he has with the arm length. But man, you watch him play, he gets his hands on the ball. So I don't even know what to say because you know you could absolutely love Will Johnson, who is a good player, who's 6'2" and he's got length and all that, but he's not as good as Barron. He's not as good as Reville.
Mm-hmm.
And even I like Morrison from Notre Dame just as much.
If it wasn't for his hip issues, I think he would be a surefire top 20.
There have been some notable misses like D. Milner and Gary and Conley, but Jair Alexander, Asante Samuel Jr., Jason Verrett, all short arm guys that have had a tremendous amount of success in the NFL.
And I think some of those guys are short just in
short
general.
Players.
Like Barron is at least 5'11".
He's 5'11", he's almost 200 pounds.
So like Nick Saban on like with the Belichick stuff like you were talking about, the critical factors for a corner. They want him to be 6 feet tall, so I guess he doesn't technically check that box, even though he's
He's 5'11", 194.
Okay, so Nick Saban said with Belichick, their standard was 6 feet, at least 180 pounds, and a sub 4.5 40. So he doesn't quite meet the 6 feet if you're going to be super stringent about the 1 inch, but he's absolutely meets the 180, and he absolutely meets the speed sub 4.5. This was a legit 4.4 flat at the combine. Man coverage skills. That's something they want. Jahdae Barron, does he have that?
Yeah.
I would say yes. Tackling ability, absolutely. Again, just go watch him meet Scataboo, one of the toughest guys to bring down, in the hole. We're talking a one-yard freaking gain with your corner meeting in the A-gap, Scataboo. And then downfield ball skills. Those were the traits. So it doesn't even mention anything about arm length from Saban.
He goes and gets the ball, though. Wow. Yeah.
Hey. This guy, he's a high IQ.
High character.
High IQ.
Why do you seem kind of down about this, Brian? Do you think the Cowboys won't take him?
No, they won't. I don't think they will, but just because of what you talked about with the parameters. I'm taking this too personal. That's my problem.
Yeah.
I'm taking it too personal that I think Barron's a better player than Johnson. I'm taking that personally just because one is 6'2 and one is 5'11". I'm taking that to, and I just think there's better players.
Is he going to play in the slot anyway?
Who, Barron?
Wouldn't he, if you took him?
Barron?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he can play.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
See, that's short guys. I wouldn't play Johnson in the slot.
Hmm.
See, that's what you have to do. You play Johnson, you draft Johnson. Johnson is a good player, but you'd have to probably kick Bland inside is what you'd probably have to do.
Okay, it's the C-note here, Cowboys news of the evening.
I think this guy is Trent McDuffie. That's who I think Barron is.
Trent McDuffie, for those who don't know, very good player. For the Chiefs, he's locked down.
I think this guy's Trent McDuffie. That's my comparison, my pro comparison.
Howie Roseman coming in hot against a domestic violence player, says won't even touch the film on anyone who's been convicted of DV. Mm-hmm. Says if you say, well, it happened 10 years ago and I learned it, they don't care. Says they aren't looking for the best players. They're looking for the right ones.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got a little bit of a DV conviction on your record, the Eagles aren't even considering you bringing you in. I don't know. You know, it's everybody, every team's going to draw their own line on this. Certainly they've proven you can have a lot of success being very tough on it. I just think that not having second chances can be a slippery slope, you know, and you know, people are going to mess up. So, you know, if you draw that line, maybe you have an assistant GM, maybe you have a VP of sales, you're going to have a bunch of people that are sinful. It's biblical, you know, nothing personal, but you might have to end up moving on from a lot of different people when you draw a line in the sand. Otherwise, you're going to look like a hypocrite. So you got to be ready to fire everybody.
I wonder how many of these, though, are actual convictions, you know, because so many of them are, they end up getting, some type of
plea deal.
Yeah, some type of deals, or it gets kind of brushed under from like an actual.
The courts can't convict because the victim doesn't want to go through with it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, so I still think that keeps plenty of guys open.
Yeah. Yeah, that is interesting. Like, where do you draw the line on probably did it, but the courts couldn't, you know, do a subpoena or whatever. Okay, celebrity Cowboys fan Kelly Clarkson on the Kylie Kelly podcast. She was dunking on Jerry, and I love this. Okay, I'll tell you why I love this. She said, I just read something with my sister, and I guess Jerry Jones had said, well, now is the time. And I was like, oh, okay, it was different from the last now's the time, very different from last year's time, which was also the time. She's mad. We have moved into a new age for Cowboys fans. You had the 70s and 90s, the golden eras. You had the post-golden era. Okay, then you had Bill Parcells and this great offensive line that for the last 20 years allowed them to be good. Now those things are done. You have Schottenheimer, who nobody wanted coaching the team. I think the fans have decided they've had enough, Brian, and they're no longer saying, "Oh, we're the Cowboys. We're gonna get this done." Mm-hmm. The celebrities used to be loud and proud. Now they're disgruntled.
They have every right to be. Yep. They have absolutely every right to be. And you know, and it's, you know, there's something that needs to be done. And I think the fan base is very frustrated when they see their main rival, the Philadelphia Eagles, how they go about their business, how the owner stays out of the way. All these things, you know, lead to a Super Bowl, and Cowboy fans take a beating from Eagle fans about this.
Yep.
So I don't blame them for saying they've had enough. They're not wrong.
So, you know, I think one of two things are going to happen fairly soon. They're going to have to change their ways, maybe bring in a real GM like they brought in Parcells to get the stadium, or they'll keep it the same, but at least we'll have to buy a winning roster. I think they're coming to that time soon. When you have all the legends, all the celebrities now being like, forget it, you know, we're no longer relevant. You follow it up with another 6 or 7 win season, I think we could be there by this point next year. And that's exciting to me. As depressing as it is, I think the Cowboys truly need to hit rock bottom and have their celebrity fans dunking on them in public in order for, you know, we to get to a point where meaningful change can happen. We're 3 hours down, 2 to go, Chief. What is next?
Football's finest. We have a draft scoop that Cowboys fans are going to like. Overshown has a high bar for himself, and another player gets a market-setting contract next year in the nation.